What's up, guys? It's Matt Prince, the five-dimensional strength coach, here today with my man, Ryan Obanessa. Ryan OB, Coach OB on Instagram. He's a mate of mine. We've known each other for a few years when we're just a few men trying to grow and trying to get better. Very excited. He's all the way from Utica in New York, a small town upstate New York. Pumped for him, pumped to have him on the show. Now, this is my first guest on Matt Prince podcast. I'm a bit nervous, a bit excited. So I'll let you guys all let me know how we go with this. But I met him 2 years ago with Coach Steve through one of his mentors, Coach Steve. He took us through a process and basically had us shift in our body, our mind, our relationships, our business. And he taught us a lot. And me and Ryan, like in, I don't know how long was it, man, like 8-9 months that we knew each other well. And we sort of felt like we knew each other for years. So the progression.
Yeah, it was about 8 or 9 months, and it did progress pretty quickly in terms of the connection.
Yeah, it's crazy when you're in that time warp. Now, Ryan, like before we get into the actual interview, he's ripped, he's jacked, his business is pumping. He's not a guy who's playing, you know, an entrepreneur. He's actually fucking doing it, which is very impressive. Got a beautiful fiance, Christina. Loves his two dogs just as much as I love mine, which I think that's why we have such a good connection. His profile pics of his two dogs, which I think is pretty cool with him and his partner. He's more than just another trainer, more than just a coach. He's the definition of a fitness professional. So with that said, I'd love to welcome Ryan to the show. So dude, we'll talk a bit about your ebook and your online stuff later on, but welcome to the show. Welcome to the Matt Prince podcast.
No, thank you for having me, man. I'm honored to be your first guest on the show. It's going to be a good one.
I'm pumped. I'm glad you said yes. All right. Now, I'm just going to start with a few questions, dude. So first question, like, what's a weird or strange thing that people might not know about you? I don't want to get into the whole backstory of Ryan OB. Like, I know you back in the day, like, you just wanted to get fit and then you wanted to start helping people. That's like every other fitness professional. But what's something weird and strange that people might not know about you? What's something you like doing, something that you've done, something you do on a habitual basis?
Something weird or strange that people don't know about me. I love sweets.
Yeah.
I would say that it kind of doesn't fit the image because I try to stay as lean and as cut as possible, but I am a chocolate lover. I love anything, cake, ice cream, you name it. So I got to stay away from that. But that's one thing that usually catches people by surprise is how much I like sweets and then how much I can eat. They don't usually expect that when we sit down to a meal and I can pound a very large plate. So.
And then do it again. I remember when we were eating in the States, like when we were at Newport Beach and you're smashing multiple meals like I was.
Yeah.
That's awesome. What sort of sweets? So you're just chocolate, ice cream. How often are you doing it? How often are you having that sort of stuff?
I would say that to give in to my addiction, I probably binge once a week. Like I guess a cheat meal or, you know, I take a day where I'm going to have whatever I want. One thing, it is special to Utica, New York. So in upstate New York, it's called a Half Moon.
Okay.
And the only way I can explain it is it's like a chocolate cookie.
Yep.
And then on top, it has vanilla frosting on one side and chocolate frosting on the other. But it's something that is native to our area. So I grew up having that. And it's one of those things that if I see one, I got to have one.
That sounds awesome. Half Moon, is it? Is that what it's called?
It's called a Half Moon. Yeah. If you look it up online.
I'm going to Google that later on and check it out. That's awesome. So let's segue straight into this. Like, I suppose, like we're going to be talking a little bit about different stuff, like across the five dimensions, like we always do on this podcast. But when it comes to food, like you're ripped, dude. Like, I don't know, for you guys that haven't seen Ryan or don't know Ryan, go check out coach_o.b on Instagram. That's his Instagram tag. He's fucking shredded right now. Obviously he eats sweets. I eat like copious amounts of food also. It is possible to stay healthy, lean, and eat wrong, right? Like, so what's your sort of a daily diet look for like for you? And then you're obviously having one cheat meal a week or a few, like, can you sort of give us a bit of your philosophy on diet?
Yeah. So for me, the biggest thing that I find is consistency over a long period of time. So we train athletes at our gym. And one of the common questions the athletes ask is, you know, how do I look like you? How do I get like this? And my answer always comes back to, I've been doing this for 15 years, you know, plus at this point, you're looking at 15 to 20 years of consistently eating the same way and training the same way. So that's why I do have that leeway when it comes to sweets. because the majority of the time my diet's pretty boring. You know, I'm going to have, depending on my day, either a shake in the morning, or I'll be using like protein, athletic greens, you know, my green smoothie. I'm going to have that at some point during the day, but sometimes in the morning. And if I don't have that, I'm having eggs, half egg whites, half of the yolk, with some spinach. I had oatmeal today with that. And then for my, basically my lunch or my midday meals, I'm gonna eat the same thing. I have turkey tacos, which I just make with turkey and taco seasoning. And then I have either rice or sweet potatoes and some sort of green vegetable. And then I'll do that for 3 or 4 meals a day.
Yep.
After my workout, I might have another shake. But other than that, like every day, I'm gonna do the same thing. And yep. That's what works for me. So when I talk to someone about nutrition, and this actually comes from Steve, you know, make the game your game to win. Like, you make the rules. So for me, it works to have the same thing every day. It doesn't work for everyone, but that's what works best for me because I don't need to think about it. And then when I get to a weekend or I go out for an event or something with friends, if I want to have that half moon or I want to have, you know, that extra meal, you know, there's no problem in doing that because I know that for the last 6 days, I've been on point with my eating every day.
Yep. Awesome, man. So you don't track calories or anything like that, or you do, or?
Not really.
No.
I might, if I want to, so let's say I want to add some size, you know, then for a week or two, I will go through a tracking phase so I can see the quantities of what I need to have.
Yep.
And that gives me a better idea of what I need to adjust. But for entrepreneur lifestyle where we're go, 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 I don't have time to count. Like, I don't have time to sit down and count everything and put it into a macro tracker. So once I get a good idea of what it looks like, then each week when I cook my food, I can pretty much put it together. And I'm pretty well in tune with my body, so I know how to tweak it if I need to.
Yep. Me too, man. I agree 100%. It's fascinating that you can be so ripped and not have to count anything. Good work. Yeah, everyone's always talking, you know, count macros, count calories, all that bullshit. And it doesn't, makes things harder a lot of the time, I believe. And like you said, simplicity of like green smoothie, good quality foods, like it's magic, isn't it?
Yeah. Like I think that, for some people, the macros might work, but for the majority of the people, especially when we're working with clients, you know, and our coaches are working with clients, it doesn't benefit someone who's new to it to go into this stressful environment of counting. You know, if you want to go to a competition and you want to, you know, do a bodybuilding show, then sure, you got to be specific with your numbers.
Yeah.
But just to overall health function, to be lean, to be strong, you don't always need to be that specific when it comes to your macros. Once you've done this long enough, you learn and you know what X amount of grams of carbs looks like when it comes to certain foods. And then again, consistency. The longer that you stay consistent with it, the easier it is to know exactly what you're having, but also the leniency that you get.
That's awesome, man. Good shit. Good share. Now, training. So we have similar training beliefs. Like, I know a lot of your mentors that you've studied and stuff like that, they're very similar to mine. In Australia, a lot of the people in Australia, a lot of the coaches in Australia, it's not as common to go overseas and start studying all the American dudes. So I understand sort of where you're coming from. A lot of the Aussie coaches might not. Are you able to fill them in on how you're training, how you coach your athletes, what your sort of philosophies on training are and why?
So when it comes to training, I like to go with what we call like a concurrent model of training, where the traditional strength and conditioning coach, and it kind of evolved, but they'll tell you that you train one modality at a time, you know? So if you want to get strong, you're just training strength. If you want to get faster, you're just training speed or you're training power. So when you look at that over
a session, right?
Yeah. In a single session. Yeah. And sometimes even in a single micro cycle, they would like, is what we would call it. I like to combine everything. Like I truly believe you can get the most benefit out of a training session and even training program by training all of those abilities. I kind of do have a problem with wanting to do everything when it comes to training. So that's part of it. But being able to, you know, be strong, be powerful, to be fast. So, you know, when our athlete programs, we're training sprints, we're training jumps, you know, we're training our maximal strength in our lifts. And then at the end of it, we're going to hit some conditioning. So that way, when a kid, an athlete goes out onto a field, like they're well-rounded, they're not just super strong or super fast. You know, they do have a good ability in each one of those areas. And that's something that's different for me because I grew up always training bodybuilding, where you just do one body part and, you know, you do legs twice a week, you do upper body twice a week or whatever it may be. And it's funny because I can't go back to that now. It's too boring.
Yep.
It just it doesn't excite me to do that. And I find way better results in when it comes to the concurrent training model of training multiple modalities at one time.
That's awesome. And are you doing full body sessions or upper lower split? Have you got a preference?
As of lately, so I did Seal Fit and I did 20X over the summertime for us. And that kind of taught me that you can train full body every day.
Yep.
You don't need to kill your full body every day, you know, but you can train to some degree your full body each day. So I tend to do full body sessions, generally 7 days a week. But that being said, each session is not the same intensity. You know, I might have a really short, low intensity session on one day. There might be one day that's more of an upper body focus. But I have gone back and forth between upper, lower, or full body session, just depending on where I'm at in my training cycle.
Yeah, nice. Now, I wanted to touch on the 20X stuff. So you've done a few cool things. Like I seen a photo of your ollie lifting the other day. You posted up like a flashback. So you've been through ollie lifting, and then the 20X for you guys that don't know, it's Mark Devine, right? He's the owner of Seal Fit. So Mark Devine's Seal Fit, and it's basically like a fucking beatdown, isn't it? Like a 20X, is that a four? Can you fill us in on the 20X program and what you sort of felt, what you took from it?
So the 20X program is a really shortened version of your Navy's Bud School program. So in the U.S. Navy, they have Bud School, so it's where you get your elite Navy SEALs. And that program is much longer than 12 hours, but the 20X is just a 12-hour version of that, where, yeah, it's essentially a physical and mental beatdown where you're constantly being worked and you're constantly put under stress where you need to think and you need to problem solve and work together as a team. Teamwork is a big part of that. So it was really cool to see the interaction amongst the people that were in the program with me. There was, I think, 32 of us that went through that 20X program. Only 30 did complete it. Some had to drop out for medical reasons and just because they couldn't keep up with the intensity, everything. But it's one of those things where you got to have that battle in your mind, because there's a lot of times where you don't think you could do it, or, you know, you've been in the plank position for 20 minutes doing planks and push-ups, getting sprayed with a fire hose and getting yelled at, you know, and it's something where you're like, oh, I don't know if I can do this, but you got to dig down deep. So I like that mental challenge. You've probably experienced this in your head where you have like that argument in your head where you want to quit, but you got to fight yourself not to.
Yeah.
And the idea is at the end of this, you show yourself you're 20 times more capable of whatever you think you can do.
Yeah, nice. And you found you were? Were you one of the leaders in the group in terms of fitness and capabilities, or were you just like a normal guy in there?
So, the way that works is if you can't hang, so to speak, or if you fall behind, if you don't follow instructions, then you kind of get picked out and tortured a bit. And there was probably about 5 to 6 of us who never got bothered.
Yep.
Actually, I met a guy from Australia.
All right.
He's from Perth.
Yeah, right. Yep.
I forget what you guys call it, but he's a firefighter who does in the forest.
Yep.
So he jumps out of helicopters and goes into the forest for his firefighter. Really cool dude. And he was someone who's well-trained, so we hung out a lot. It was hard, but being in good physical shape made everything manageable. Like, there was never a moment that I couldn't do something. I would say the worst part is we did after a full day of torture and rocking up mountains and running and being dumped in an ice bucket of water, we had to do the Murph workout.
Oh, nice.
So familiar with Murph.
Yeah. Did you wear the rucksack or did you wear weight vest?
Or just no weight vest. So you had boots and fatigues on, basically.
Oh, fuck, man.
But it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It was 100 degrees out and we had to run a mile. You do 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, 300 squats, run another mile. And I've done that workout in like 25 to 27 minutes.
Yep.
And that day it took me 57 minutes.
Holy
just to give you an idea of the difference. And I ran the last mile I ran, my hamstrings were completely locked up and cramping. So again, like one of those things where you got to be up here telling yourself you can do this, because like it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good while you're doing it.
That's rough. That's awesome, man. Now, other things. So ollie lifting, like, tell me about that. I knew I spoke to you a few years ago and you were saying you're ollie lifting. Like when you're training, you're talking about these multiple, you know, about modalities and concurrent training and stuff. When you were doing ollie lifting, were you doing conditioning and stuff as well? Were you still doing all that, or were you just training ollie lifting?
So I wasn't, and that's I forget exactly why I decided this, but I had in my head, I was on a mission that I wanted to learn how to get into Olympic weightlifting.
Yep.
So it was over the course of about a year, I taught myself just through self-teaching and watching videos of competitors, how to do Olympic weightlifting. And then I decided, you know, I need to compete in this. And that was, we talked like 90-day challenge. That was one of my first things I wanted to do for myself, was I want to compete in Olympic weightlifting. So I put together, I actually got it from Catalyst Athletics. It's out in California. It's a training, they train CrossFitters and Olympic weightlifters. And I did one of their 12-week programs where I'm going to focus only on Olympic weightlifting for the next 12 weeks and put it on size. So I got up to about 195 pounds, mm-hmm. and all I did was Olympic weightlift and squat. So my conditioning in that wasn't very good, but I was super strong and I could do pretty decent on a platform when it comes to Olympic weightlifting.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Like I got coached by a Catalyst for, I think it was an 8-week period or 12-week period as well, a few years ago. And I found that just learning ollie lifting helped my coaching. Did you find that as well? Like learning how to move your body properly and all those little cues and things that you have to get right, the intricacies of Olympic weightlifting, that transferred over to my coaching, my strength coaching, in terms of like helping the power lifts and explosive lifts and all that as well. Did you find that too?
Yeah, definitely. You have a whole new appreciation for detail and technique. I think that's why I love Olympic weightlifting so much, is because it is so technical. It's not like powerlifting. You can't just muscle up a bar over your head when you're doing Olympic weightlifting. You actually have to have good technique and good form, and you learn about positions. You know, and like you said, it does have a very big carryover and transfer to coaching other lifts or sports, anything that's going to be athletic. I do think Olympic weightlifters are some of the most athletic athletes out there. You don't really realize it until you see the things they can do off the platform. Like there's some crazy videos of competitors, you know, doing 60-inch box jumps or doing jumps up bleachers and like hurdles. They have an extreme amount of power. So that did help me a lot in terms of teaching athletes how to develop that.
Yeah, nice. Now, last little one in training and coaching. So in terms of that ollie lifting, do you have your clients do the ollie lifting? I know you train with some like football athletes and stuff like that. Do you have them doing the power cleans and things like that, or do you just stick to kettlebell work? What's your sort of thoughts behind that?
So when it comes to our athlete program, we do teach them, generally we'll teach them how to do a hang clean. And then we will get into some single arm dumbbell snatches when you're talking about like the Olympic realm. Unless a kid shows great proficiency in working with a barbell in Olympic weightlifting, we don't get into a full clean and jerk or snatch or anything like that, just because the risk does not outweigh the reward for us. You know, a lot of our kids are playing multiple sports and they're only with us a few days a week when it comes to training in season. So we don't want to take the risk of someone getting injured lifting when they should be outperforming. So we will sprinkle some introductory stuff into that. And then as they get older and they are in the college level or the pro level and they show interest, then we'll take some more time to teach them how to fully do all the lifts and like get really in depth when it comes to their technique and their form.
Yeah, got it. Yeah, I'm exactly the same way, man. It's good to hear that from other coaches too, because like I've got this belief that you can create the same force, same power through your dumbbell snatches, kettlebell, you know, clean and presses. Mm-hmm. Box jumps,
well, when it comes to our adults, you know, we don't do any Olympic weightlifting. One, if you want to say I had a gripe with CrossFit, is I don't think most adults need to do Olympic weightlifting. Mm-hmm. If they really care about it, then we do have a more private training program for them to learn. But in general, most adults don't have the movement capability and they don't have the desire to learn how to do all these lifts. So again, that reward isn't there for us.
Yeah,
you know, it's much safer and much more effective to teach them how to use a kettlebell, because they can use that in so many different arenas, and they can use that in so many different settings, whether it's in the gym or out of the gym, versus teaching them how to do a snatch.
100%. Yeah, I agree fully, man. It's good to hear that from another coach too. That's awesome. Now, with the body, dude, any supplements, tricks, or recovery hacks that you're doing yourself?
Supplements. When I was younger, I used to be really into supplements. I used to take them all the time, which kind of gave me some digestive issues. So for now, I will most likely stick to just a protein. I like to have my green supplement, and I do use a pre-workout drink more so just because I'm addicted to the habit of just drinking something. So it doesn't even have to be a lot of caffeine or anything. I just have had that ingrained in me for so many years of like, you got to shake the bottle and you got to drink it before you go work out. And it kind of gets my mind primed.
Yep.
So, when it comes to supplements, I stick with those. I do use fish oil. I've used some on it supplements. I really like their new mood when it comes to helping with sleep.
Yep.
That's something that's definitely helped me out, is using that. But I don't get too much into any of the other stuff in terms of like fat burners or, I every once in a while, if I'm trying to put on size, I use creatine, but I try not to focus too much on the supplements just because I was into them for so long.
Yeah.
That I know that it can wreak havoc on your insides if you're using them too much. So I haven't gone too much into the supplements.
Nice. And any tricks or recovery hacks that you've got? Like, I'm big into saunas, you know, ice baths, floating, that sort of stuff. Is there anything that you do in particular to help recovery for you or your athletes?
So I do like to incorporate massage, number one. I have done the float spa as well. The difficulty for us is the nearest float spa is an hour away.
Yep.
So during the week, it's not that, it's hard for us to get out there and get back. When it comes to our athletes, we always recommend going into, get a massage, soft tissue work. If they have availability to do an ice bath, you know, that's another one that we do like. But that's pretty much it for us.
Cool. Nice. Now, mentally, like being a entrepreneur, being a fitness professional, being a fiance, being a, you know, homeowner, being a athlete, being, you know, just a man in general, like it takes its toll, right? Like, what are the things that you use to stay sharp mentally? Like, is there anything you do in particular each day in your habits or that keeps you on track, keeps your mind sharp, keeps you not going into those drift and those dark spots?
Yes, I do have my daily habits to get my mind right. And that is going to always start off with a few things. One is going to be meditation.
Yep.
So in the mornings, I get up 10 minutes of meditation just to get myself set for the day. And then immediately I want to identify three things I appreciate.
Yep.
So that's something I started in the last year is appreciation, because when you're pushing so hard, you forget to stop and actually, you know, see what's around you to really enjoy it. So I always want to make sure that I acknowledge, you know, the things that are great, because we always have great things in our lives, and sometimes we just fail to see it or miss it.
Yep.
And then after that, I want to read. So I want to get my mind going in a positive direction, learning something new.
What are you reading?
So I try to read. Currently, I have a problem with reading too many books. So I'm reading Outliers.
Yep.
I'm reading
Malcolm Gladwell.
I'm reading Outliers, Malcolm Gladwell. I am reading Leaders Eat Last by Simon Sinek. And I'm reading Loving What Is by Byron Katie.
Nice. Yep. Nice.
And then after my reading, I want to journal.
Yep.
So journal about something that I've learned. Journal about my thoughts the day before. I've started actually the last 6 months, every day I journal. It starts out with today is a good day.
Yep.
Every day is a good day. So just writing that, it kind of sets your mind in the right framework to go forward in a positive direction. And those are the big ones when it comes to mindset. And if I ever feel like I'm getting down or I'm getting, you know, that dark place during the day, going back to meditation and stopping, like just stopping whatever it is that you're doing and taking some time to think and reflect can be huge in terms of getting your mindset.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. So just a recap on that. You're getting up, you're meditating, creating space. You said you were you were reading, journaling, appreciation, gratitude. And you do it in the meditation, gratitude, reading, journal order. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yep. I there's a lot of power in morning routines, and a lot of people don't take advantage of it. So it's good hearing that. Like I always preach morning routines. I'm talking about meditation, things like that, but people don't realize that they don't take time for themselves. And I think just getting it out there, and the more we talk about it, the more, you know, people share about meditation, the more we share about journaling, et cetera, it's just going to make a big difference. So thanks for sharing that, dude. Now, trainers, coaches are notorious for huge days. Now, I know you're not currently coaching in your gym as much as you, like you're not scheduled in there at all. You're running the business from a business side of things, which we'll go into a little bit later on. I think that's awesome. But how do you balance work, training, play with, you know, Christina, with dogs, with family, with friends? How do you force yourself to take time off?
The big thing for me is schedule. So I am really big on just structure, and that I have a structure, I have a schedule, I know what I'm going to be doing. And for me, if it's on the schedule, then I'll do it. So making sure that I schedule that time to, you know, read, time to eat, time to just relax. I took up taking guitar lessons in the last 6 months just because I wanted some time for me. You know, so for that hour twice a week, I go in, I turn off my phone, I'm completely disconnected so I can have just 100% presence with the instructor, you know, and play on the guitar. That's very relaxing. Or when it comes to things on the weekend, scheduling out time away. Another thing I did, I think it was when we first started working with Steve, was I started taking Friday afternoons off.
Yep.
So I don't work on a Friday afternoon. So I might go to lunch with a what was that?
Anything you do in particular Friday afternoons? Is it like you check out at say 12 o'clock and then just go and, is there something you go and do? Or is that when you schedule in fun, or what do you do?
So I used to have Boys Friday, where I would take the dogs to the park every Friday afternoon, and we'd go run around and just hang out, you know, take a couple hours to go in one of the local parks and just relax and let the dogs run out. Sometimes I might go to lunch with a family member, you know, my brother, my uncle, or my father's, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
But ultimately, doing something that's going to get away from the constant grind of work, because it's very easy to always do that.
Oh, absolutely. Now, dog talk, man. Like, I'm a big dog guy. You're a big dog guy. I've never met a guy who, like, we had conversations when we were in the States, when we were at Newport Beach. We're just talking back and forth for about an hour about our dogs. Like, what are your dogs' names? You share them with the guys on the podcast. So you got two dogs,
so,
right?
Yeah, we have two dogs. They're both rat terrier mixes. It's funny because they look like they'd be brothers, but they're not. We adopt them at separate times. The oldest one is Jax. So if you ever look up a picture, he's the all brown one. He's been with me. Let's see, he just turned 7.
Yep.
So he's been with me since I first started training, and he comes everywhere. He's very, very, very well behaved. They call him the most handsome man in the world because he always looks so proper. And then our second one is Cooper. Yep. And actually a client of ours, she runs a rescue for dogs in the local area, and happened to bring him in one day because his name originally was Jax.
Right.
She goes, "You got to see this dog. He looks just like yours. And his name is Jax." So he came in to stay for a weekend and he never went back. And he's mixed with a Chihuahua, so he's a little obnoxious and crazy. They both have their personalities, but it's cool because you, like, they're best buds. You know, they hang out with each other, they go everywhere. You know, if you find them right now, I would bet you that they're laying on top of each other somewhere. Like, they always take naps together, and it's been really helpful for Jax because as we've grown as a business, unfortunately, we're occupied more, so he doesn't have all the attention that he likes. But
yeah.
They're two crazy guys.
That's good fun, man. That's awesome. That's sick. Now let's dive into some business based stuff. So there's a few strength coaches that listen to this. Like I said before we started, there's a few from the States, there's a few from Australia. All business is the same, essentially. Like, we've had the same coaching in a lot of the times, and, you know, marketing's marketing, business is business, systems are systems. So we'll dive into some stuff that's worked for you in your area. So Utica is not a huge town, is it? Is it? It's not a, not like a big city, is it? How many sort of people would be in Utica?
So in Utica, you're looking like somewhere around 100,000.
All right.
If you include some of the surrounding towns. If you include all the surrounding towns, because there's a lot of local towns, like smaller towns that are, I would incorporate in that.
Yep.
But it's still, it's not very large, and it's also lower, I guess, lower income.
Yeah, it was voted the worst place to run a business. What was that? Is that what Steve said like years ago?
Yeah, it's in one of, it's Forbes' top 10 worst places to own a business.
And you're doing okay.
So, yeah, no, we're doing okay.
You're doing fantastic. I'm not talking that down. All right, sweet. So let's go into that with that bit of a background. Like, what do you think, if you were to go back and say like 20-year-old Ryan comes in, what advice would you give to him if you're like a business owner now, giving him advice, starting up, getting everything ready? Like, how would you go about it if you were to restart again?
If I were to restart again, I would, number one, schedule less classes starting out. Yep. The crazy thing that, so we start out just my fiance and myself, and we probably have about 80%, we were doing 80% of the same class schedule that we currently have.
Yep.
And just to give a reference, at the time we had about 20 clients, and currently we have like over 250 members. So like we spread ourselves thin very, very early on for the two of us to be up every day at 5 a.m. and go to sleep at 9 p.m. It took a toll. So that's one thing I would change. The other thing is learn business faster and sooner. Yeah. Is when it comes to owning your business and growing a fitness business, it's not so much about training. If you need to be good at that, obviously, but understanding business and marketing and sales, I think one thing that both of us were fortunate is getting involved in coaching and getting mentors to learn that.
Yeah.
Because that's truly what separates those from grow, that like those that grow from those that don't.
Absolutely.
Understanding those concepts.
And now with that sort of thing, like, so I study marketing, I study sales, I study systems, I study, obviously still study training. I don't really study nutrition much anymore just because I have zero interest in it, but mindset, like I'm studying all these types of things. In terms of, say, if you were to go back and like think of the most important section of business learning, what would it be for you? Like if somebody just starting out, somebody just getting their, you know, finding their feet, just opened up, what would the first thing that you would tell them to dive into would be?
The first thing that I would do is read the book, The Go-Giver.
Yeah, nice.
And take that concept of just always giving value and deliver that over the top in every aspect of your business.
Yeah.
And then second to that, systemize it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's one thing that that we've done is we've systemized the way that we provide value. And no matter how many times a gym copies the programs that we do or does the same thing that we do or class or anything, they can never replicate the back end.
Yep.
You know, that's where we create the big difference between what we do and what someone else does is because of the value provided on the inside that you don't see from the outside.
Yep. Awesome. Yeah, I think any successful gym has that issue of copycats and shit talkers and other coaches trying to rip off what they see on online, isn't it? It's a complete nightmare, but it's always going to happen. So dude, Go-Giver, that's a book by Bob Berg and Bob Mann, is it? That's that one. So if you guys are listening, Go-Giver is a fantastic book. I've listened to it. I've read it multiple times. I've gifted it. It's fantastic. Systems books. Have you got any systems books that you would recommend to the listeners?
Systems. I'm trying to think. One of the first ones I read was written actually by Thomas Plummer.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He's a big fitness speaker, consultant. And it was talking about developing systems and, organization to your business. I can't think of the name of it off the top of my head, but that was a really good one.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what I read recently. I read another one recently that talked about systems. Oh, it's called Be Our Guest.
Okay.
And it's about Disney. It's written by, I can't think of his name. It's the CEO of Disney currently. And it breaks down their guest service approach and how detail-oriented it is and the systems that they use to make sure it's implemented on a consistent basis. And that is, for anyone who's never been to Disney, it is the most magical, happiest place on earth. We actually just went, and it was cool to experience this.
Yeah.
And it's extremely expensive.
Yeah.
And the thing that they talk about in that book is, for your business, do you provide a service and experience that will always keep your customer smiling, even while they swipe their credit card for the most expensive purchase they've ever made?
That's awesome.
And I think that's a great way to look at what you're doing, and how well you're doing it is, will someone come to you and spend a large sum of money on your services or your product, and while they're doing that, feel great about it?
Yeah.
And if you can make that connection, then you have a recipe for a great business and a great philosophy for your business going forward.
Mate, that's huge. And Disney does nail it. I went last year and I had that time where I was buying like lunch and it was like $15 or whatever for like a small meal. And it's fucking crazy, but it's amazing there. You're spot on. I'm gonna read that book for sure. That's a great share, dude.
To stay on the Disney thing quick, crazy thing in terms of another thing is detail, because detail plays a lot when it comes to those systems.
Yeah.
Disney has calculated the exact distance that a customer will walk to throw something out. And then they've taken into account traffic of people. So if you remember going to Disney, there's garbage cans everywhere you see.
Yeah.
And they're placed in a specific manner so that way someone will walk to them and throw them out, because they know how far someone was willing to go to throw out a piece of paper or a wrapper. Which so is like that's it. That's how detailed they've gotten, is testing it.
Wow.
And through testing it and then just figuring out exactly how far someone will walk, and that's one of the reasons why it's so clean.
That makes sense. That's insane. I didn't know that. That's it explains it though. And all the bins, like, they make them look pretty. Everything's like,
yeah.
Yeah. If you haven't been there, go guys. Like, it's an amazing spot. Now, dude, your gym's self-running now, so that means you've got a great team implementing the systems and the programs and stuff that you've done. I'm going to assume that you still do a bit of marketing and all that sort of side of things and run the business.
We do all the marketing and sales.
Yep. So the struggle that I've had over time was, as a coach, like, my schedule was packed like yours. Chantal's the same deal. We're doing like get up at 6 a.m., finish at 9 p.m. at night, like doing huge days. And something I always struggle with was, I suppose, eliminating classes as I needed more time to do more business-based stuff. So a coach coming up, how would you recommend them start that process? How would you recommend them start going from the one-on-one PT into small group, into group, and then sort of building themselves out of it if they want to? Like, I still like coaching, so I'm not going to get rid of it completely. But like,
yep,
some people are, you know, just looking at it as a business venture and they want to step out and run it as a business. How would you recommend them make that shift?
So in making that shift, I think there's a few different ways to do it. One of the things that's going to be a requirement is you obviously need a good team. Yep. So finding the right people to support you. When it comes to, if you're making a transition from one-on-ones to small group, we did that, but it was when we moved from a big box gym where we're doing private training to a larger gym. So that just kind of came with the territory of, hey, we're not doing private sessions as much because we have all of these group sessions now. So that was kind of our way of making that shift personally.
Yep.
But I would say a great example in my case is the athlete program that we have was kind of my baby, so to speak, that I put together. That was where my drive for the whole business came, was to create an athlete training facility, because we didn't have one in the area.
Yep.
And I always wanted to do that. So it was last year that I had to let go of that and let go of the reins, which is very difficult for me to do. And the way I did that was by bringing on a coach and building him and growing him over time to be able to run it. And then being comfortable with letting him take it and kind of figure it out on his own.
Yep.
And the thing that we use with our coaches, the saying that I tell them when it comes to coaching a session in a group session is, as long as you tell people what you're going to do, you can do whatever you want.
Yep.
And what I mean by that is, if you're coaching multiple clients and let's say you're working with Susie and you have to go help out Tim, you can say, Susie, I'm going to go help Tim get set up with his squats. As soon as I'm done with Tim, I'll be right back to check in on you.
Yep.
Now, as long as you've told her that, it doesn't really matter how long it takes you to accomplish that task, because you've given her a frame of reference that, hey, you're going to go do this and you'll be right back. So when you're making a transition as a coach, if you explain to your clients, hey, we're building this program because, so I'm no longer going to be able to do one-on-one sessions, but I think it'd be a really great fit for you to do this program. Like, you've advanced over time. You don't necessarily need the one-on-one session, you know, so going into a small group could be just as beneficial. And it's also going to be a little bit lower price point for you, so you're going to save some money along the way. Or, hey, I'm taking over some more business responsibility, so our coach Joe is going to be taking over our athlete program.
Yep.
I've been training Joe for the last year to do this. You know, he's great with the kids. He's great with athletes. You know, he's familiar with the programs. He knows what to do. You know, you're giving reassurance to the customer that you're not just leaving them hanging.
Yep.
You're providing them with a very effective solution or remedy to you not being there.
Awesome. Great answer, man. That's awesome. Now, this is a bit of a question. I don't know how you're gonna go about answering this, but I think about this often. I had it asked to me one time by another coach, and basically it was, if you had to add an extra $1,000 per week to your debited income in the next 2 weeks, how would you do it? If you were to add an extra $1,000 per week to your income in the next 2 weeks, how would you do it? How would you go about that?
If I were to add $1,000 in the next 2 weeks
to your weekly income, how would you do it?
I would market a high-end program and I would sell it for $1,000.
Perfect.
And I would market to get one client.
Yep. Awesome.
Like that would be my approach, is I would try to do it in one fell swoop.
Yep.
Trying to gather a program that accommodates multiple people.
Perfect. And just over deliver to that person.
With that time.
Yeah, you'd get that. I know you'd get that. All right. Now, dude, I'll start to wrap this up because I want to be respectful of your time. I've got a question for you. It's two questions. One question is top three favorite books. So you've mentioned a fair few on here already, which is awesome because I'm going to go and reread them and buy them all. But what are your top three? If you were to give like a top one book or a top three book, what would they be?
So I have The Go-Giver is right up there. I think another book is The Black Book from Warrior.
Yep.
Garrett White's book. I think that's a great book for any man to read.
Yep.
And then on a different subject, Sapiens.
Sapiens.
A book called Sapiens.
Yep.
I think it's a really cool overview of Homo sapiens, or, you know, humans and Neanderthals and just the evolution of mankind. And it really gives you an appreciation for the development of new things and how they can drastically shift and change the world, as well as you apply that to your business or your training, you know, the shift that you can make in one person or one community by implementing something new. So yeah. I thought that was a really, really amazing book, an interesting read too.
Yep, nice, man. Now, a bit of a personality question. If you could party and smoke cigars with anyone in the world, dead or alive, who would you choose?
Party and smoke cigars with anyone dead or alive. You know what? This is just because I was watching an Adam Sandler thing the other day. I'm going to say Chris Farley.
Chris Farley, nice. good choice.
They had a little recap on his life, and like, I feel like he was always the life of the party, and there was always a party with him.
Yeah.
You know, there's always something going on. So I think that would be pretty cool.
Nice, man. I always think to Billy Madison when he's like, that Veronica Vaughn is a fine piece of ace. That's that guy, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's funny as shit. That's a good one. I like it. Now, dude, I suppose as we wrap this up, what's next for OB? What are you doing?
So besides the facility, the training facility, We're continuing to grow that. Like you said, we're working more on the business marketing and sales end, and then trying to create an online presence. So I want to take some of the training ideas that I've been putting together over the years and get them out to the world, which is why I created the Strong and Shredded in 6 ebook. It's a intense program, but I think like the holy grail of fitness is to be able to add muscle and burn fat and get shredded at the same time. So I took a whole bunch of different concepts that I've been utilizing, whether it's from seal foot bodybuilding, Olympic weightlifting, and combined them into that program. And so far, everyone we've had go through that program and execute it has accomplished just that. Yep. You know, they're going to put on muscle mass and they're also going to drop their body fat percentage to essentially get strong and shredded at the same time. But it is, it's 42 days of workouts. Like I said, I'm a big believer in moving every day. So it's not super, super intense each day. But some of the days are a little mental torture, I guess you'd say.
Hey, it's what we need. It's what we really need. All right, dude. So I suppose as we wrap this up, guys, I want to give a bit of a summary on Ryan. So if you guys don't follow him, go follow him, Coach. So at Instagram, it's at coach_.ob. Is that right? Or O.B?
Yep.
I had it written down page behind. So type in Coach OB and it'll pop up. On Facebook, it's Ryan Obanessa. And then there's OB Training on Facebook as well. Is that right?
Yeah, OB Training at Sports Performance, the name of the facility.
Yep. Okay. So guys, go check him out. There are a few strength coaches out there. The people who I'm bringing on this podcast are strength coaches that you may not all know. Like, he, you know, Ryan said he's building an online presence. Same deal as me. We're guys that have been working in gyms, building fucking shit. Like, we've been doing things. We've been, you know, working with 250 plus members for a number of years. We're not guys who have just gone online and built a following. Ryan's a business owner. He's somebody you can follow and learn from, both in your body, both in your business, you know, mind. Everything he talks about is stuff that I 100% agree with. That's why he's the first guest on, which is really, really cool. And I suppose, guys, go give him a follow. Thanks heaps for the interview, man. Thanks for the podcast. Thanks for taking time. I think there's a heap of fire in here for anyone listening, so should be a lot of fun for them. Now, dude, is there anything you wanted to wrap up on, or are you good to call it there?
I'm good, man. Just thank you for having me on. It's been a pleasure. It's good to see you. I haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah.
Jealous of your sunny skies that you guys have, but that's all right. Still trying to get down to Australia, so hopefully I can do that in the next year.
Absolutely, man. It'll be good. I'll definitely hook you up when you're here. You can come stay with us, come train, make it happen. All right, dude. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you.